this is J.W. Oliver with Global Impact and Do Hard Stuff. And I'm real excited to have with me, for a different reason, Jacob Salem with Easy Metrics. How are you, Jacob?
I'm amazing, J.W. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, just a little background about him. He's the founder of Easy Metrics, a global digital marketing agency that has represented some of the largest public and professional people, speakers, influencers like Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, one of my favorites. He was a big dream big guy, as well as several small businesses and nonprofits. He's helped over generate over 1 million leads and prides himself on helping business grow. But maybe most important, he's a follower of Jesus. We got that in common. A devoted husband, got that in common. Dedicated father, we got that in common. And a passionate serial entrepreneur, and another one we have in common. He built a business on six foundational building blocks: faith, love, loyalty, character, honesty, and integrity. And along the journey, he has learned to do what it takes to be healthy, happy, prosperous, and secure. And also that has helped give him better friendships, peace of mind, and a hope for a better future. Jacob, love that. Love that. Love that mainly about Jesus. And I think that's one thing that we do hold in common. Throw out the denominational beliefs, throw out all the differences philosophically, and just say, I love Jesus, right?
That's it. That's exactly what it is. And I wouldn't be where I am today without, you know, his love and grace and pulling me out of where I was. And man, I love talking Jesus just as much as I love talking business, and excited to be here, excited to spend a little more time with you, and a lot of respect for you, my friend.
Hey, and we think about all these commonalities. I'm obviously way ahead of you in years, but I got my pilot's license in 1986 and instrument license a few years later. And you just got your instrument license as well.
Yeah. So the actual hard copy literally just came in the mail yesterday. So I got it about a month or so ago, and took a little bit for it to show, or actually 2 months ago, it took a little bit for it to show up, but got the hard copy in the mail. So I'm super excited. I'll actually be using it the day before I come out and see you. I'm going to fly over to Chicago really quick, spend a day with a client there, fly back here, then DFW out to San Diego, commercial, of course. But yeah, I love flying. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's if people haven't done it, it's a thrill, and it's not easy. I would say getting your solo certificate, you know what, you can get do that at 12, 14, 18 hours or something, and that's not too hard. You can get that's the intro, but getting your private pilots is hard, but getting your instrument rating is harder, and then getting things like multi-engine and you know, your commercial certificate. So yeah, a good accomplishment. But we're going to talk about do hard stuff. Jacob and I had a conversation. We were talking about some stuff he does in the dental space with us, and he mentioned the story of and I'll let you tell it, but it was a great story, and I think people need to know. Let me preface this with this. Everybody thinks that, oh, I bet old Jacob or I bet old JW, they must have got a big inheritance, and that's how they got their business started. I went and saw a funny movie last night. I think this is kind of funny. I went and saw a funny movie with Sebastian Maniscalco, all about my father. It was really funny because this guy that owned a bunch of hotels, he goes, yeah, I did it the hard way. I started out, and my father only gave me one hotel to get started. My wife and I just died laughing, you know, going, yeah, okay, that's hard. That's hardships, right? But you told a story about getting started, and yeah, I'm gonna let you tell it about the suit you bought and where you had to sleep. To tell that story, because it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, let me preface a little bit. So I've been a serial entrepreneur all my life. I've been on my own since I was 14 years old. I was just raised in a household I didn't want to stay in, so I just kind of started doing my own thing. And without going way too far back and sharing all the stories, but I, you know, at 14 years old, I feel like I was the purest of entrepreneur, right? I sold weed. And so I always like to say I was a pharmacist without a license, right? And so I say that when I'm preaching from the pulpit, and to cause a little chuckle. And so I've been on my own for a long time. 17, I was called into full-time ministry, went to seminary, took out a bunch of debt, right? So I'm $115,000 in student loan debt. I'm traveling and preaching on behalf of my alma mater, Olivet Nazarene University, trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go, right? And that's where I saw the opportunity to go to the Zig Ziglar Corporation and invest, take up more debt, more money, invest. I believe investing in mentors, investing in programs, investing in training and certifications is where you need to be. If you want to get somewhere in life, find somebody who's already there and learn from them, right? Whatever you got to do to learn from them, right? I love the quote that says, if you can't afford a ticket to get into the event, serve water for free. And just do whatever you can. And that was kind of my moment with the Zig Ziglar Corporation. And that's where the story comes in. because I was traveling and preaching in the Nazarene denomination, and not to go into any denomination. I love Jesus. I love anybody who loves Jesus, and I love anybody who doesn't too. But like, but either way, so I was traveling and preaching for honorarium or for love offerings. And so in the Nazarene church, you got people of 50 to 100 people sitting in the pews. I'm driving around in my little 1993 Geo Prism that, you know, I'm sure the insurance note wasn't paid and probably had expired plates, but I'm traveling around preaching, living it up, you know, trying to figure out how to pay that next debt bill. And I would get $80 to maybe $500 to go preach on a weekend, right? And wow, that just wasn't enough to get by. So I saw the opportunity to go down to the Zig Ziglar Corporation. And I'll say the investment has changed since then, so they won't honor this, but it was a $5,000 investment to go down and learn some of the time-tested and proven principles of Mr. Zig Ziglar, to learn goal setting and achievement, building the best you, and building winning relationships, to learn how to actually present those programs. And the purpose of my doing that and making that investment was so I could start speaking into businesses and corporations and starting to get a little bit more money, charging an honorarium at churches. I learned that key, and also getting paid. Well, at the time I was super poor, super broke. You know, I would wear, you know, buttons ups and whatever I can. And what JW is referring to is I needed suits to go down. I'm going down to the Zig Ziglar Corporation, right? I'm going down there for an entire week to learn how to become one of their representatives. And I wanted to look the part. Well, I don't even own a nice suit. And so I went over to my local thrift store and I found a nice gray suit for $20. And so I took that $20 out. And then actually, JW, the story goes a little deeper about how God's provision can help. Because you've seen now where I'm at, right? The $1 million award behind me, a seven-figure business, amazing team. Years later, I built and sold two companies as well. But in this moment, you know, I was just trusting God, right? You know, the whole scripture, you know, in his heart, a man plans his ways, but the Lord will direct his steps. I really believed I was supposed to get down to the Zig Ziglar Corporation. So to get there, not only did I buy that $20 suit, I was super broke, $115,000 in debt, couldn't get anywhere. I ended up taking out two more credit cards in order to pay for that. So Margaret Garrett, wherever you are in the world, Margaret, I love you for this. She's a sales professional. She calls me and we're like a week out from this event and I'm so poor, I can't, you know, pay my light bill. And she's like, you know, Jacob, we still got one spot left for the event, right? Yeah, I bet you do now in hindsight. And so I'm like, well, great. These credit cards just came, right? Can I put it on two different cards? And of course, right? And so I made that leap of faith. I took that leap of faith, maxed out even more debt, which I don't know that I recommend, right? I need to write a book about how I did it wrong and made it right. But so that's how I afforded it. And then this is God's provision. Another part of this $20 suit story. I was preaching on behalf of my alma mater, Olivet, right? I would get gigs from time to time. I told my mentor at the time, Tony Fightmaster, hey, I'm about to drive my little 1993 Geo Prism down to Dallas. Because I'm going to go partner with the Zig Ziglar Corporation. I didn't even know what that meant at that time. I just knew that's what I was going to do. And this is God's provision. My car would break down all the time. My wife now was my girlfriend at the time, Lauren. We would break down on the way to churches and the way back from churches. And that thing wasn't dependable for anything. I'm like, I'm taking it to Texas. Woo! And my mentor at that time, who also was getting me some preaching gigs, said, well, hey, we got this coupon for Hertz Rental because of how much money we spend with them on behalf of the school. I can give you this coupon. And so I ended up getting a car for the week for like $8. And so I ended up driving down in a Chevy Cruze. I'll never forget. It was like the nicest car I'd ever been in, right? I was in a Chevy Cruze. So I drove that down to the Zig Ziglar Corporation. And I didn't know exactly what was going to come of this thing. I just knew to take that leap of faith, to invest in myself. I believe investing in yourself is the greatest investment you can make, especially when you're starting out, because the education that you put in your brain, nobody can take from you except time. You know, I think time gets us all eventually. So I made that investment in myself and I took that leap of faith. And before I knew it, I was sitting down there in my $20 suit and presenting in front of millionaires, right? All the people down there have all been built massive companies because they actually implemented the time-tested and proven wisdom of Zig. And so I used my very last penny. I used every relationship, right? I had great relationships, which allowed me to get that extra car to get down there safely. And I literally slept in that car the entire time.
That was your home.
Yeah, for that trip it was. And what I did is I would park at Planet Fitness in the morning. I would go shower at Planet Fitness, clean up, get ready for the day. And now 9 years later, here we are. So that's just one of the fun stories. And I kind of elaborated a little bit, but fun little story about how things got kickstarted to where I am today.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, you know, I mentioned that kind of at the outset too. You know, we people look at where you are today or where I am today or where other people are today, and they think that it just magically happens, right? And I think that's the problem. Of course, we live in a now society of instant gratification, right? Of, well, I want something today, I get something today. And I think you and I both, I did the same thing. I ran up credit cards, you know, used one credit card to pay off another credit card and cash advances to pay off that credit card. And, you know, you just kept thinking, oh, I'm just right around the corner. And that corner did eventually come. But the reality is, I think the whole hence the reason I believe in this do hard stuff. Look, do hard stuff to me is a lot of things. It's doing hard stuff in your physical life so you can stretch yourself physically to see if you can do it. Like I want to see if I go to base camp at Mount Everest. Did that. We're going to Kilimanjaro in June. I want to do these things that stretch me and make me prepare for these things. But doing hard stuff also is doing the hard things in business, right? I mean, you had to make some sacrifices. You had to go out on a limb. You had to take some chances on buying a $20 suit, getting to Dallas, Texas, which was not an easy chore. And really, probably, I'm guessing at that age, that was also quite intimidating to walk into a group of people who were at a much higher level, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cause it was a fake it till you make it mentality. And I still have that. Some people love it. Some don't. I do. It's, you know, fake it until you make it. Start, you know, dress for the job you want type of mentality. And without stealing too much of the show too, I mean, that's kind of my life, right? I think we need to do hard stuff and, you know, mental, physical, spiritual, relational, all facets of life, personal, financial, business. Right. And, you know, 2020, during the pandemic, right? My company was doing about just over a million a year on courses alone, just selling courses. And so in 2020, I semi-retired because I'm taking home a pretty good six-figure salary every, you know, a year to do basically nothing, you know, show up for a Zoom call once a month at that time we were doing it. And so I kind of semi-retired and I stopped doing hard stuff because I was like, well, hey, I'm 30 and, you know, I got the money. I can spend time with my wife and my kids. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Well, that's actually wrong for me in a world that's shutting down masculinity. And I don't want to go down that whole rabbit trail that we're dealing with right now. But, you know, I'm called to do hard stuff. And when I wasn't doing hard stuff, I ended up depressed. I ended up gaining 30 pounds. I ended up, you know, hating my life because I wasn't chasing big things. Hence comes in where now I went and became a pilot. I'm doing a jiu-jitsu tournament, you know, in July, right? I'm going to be cage fighting again. I started growing my business again. We now scaled the company again. We're now out there serving more people, creating more jobs. I realized that I have to set those big, hairy, audacious goals in my life. And I have to do hard stuff or I'm just not happy or satisfied or, you know, fulfilled. I feel like we're called to do hard stuff.
Well, you know, I can think of, it's funny. I saw your light bulb and big behind you. And I can remember David Schwartz's book, The Magic of Thinking Big, which was an old book, or Napoleon Hill's book, which I read. 1997, I went to Zig Ziglar's Born to Win seminar here in Dallas, and got to meet Zig. And it was a great time for me, you know. And then I look at Les Brown. I used to read, remember the years and years ago, he used to have that. I can't remember the name of the book, but he used it March 4th. Something happened on March 4th, and he was saying March 4th, you know, and he's a big dream guy. So you're right. The whole fake it till you make it, man, I've done that. You know, I still do that. And again, it's not lying, right? It's just trying to fit into an area or fit into a scenario where you can make yourself comfortable by faking what you maybe don't know. And so a lot of that is building to that do hard stuff things. And those are things where your confidence may get busted. Your finances may be in disarray. I've been there. I've been fully bankrupt once. I've been broke three times. And I like to say those have all been building experiences for me, right, to take me to the next level. And I'll tie one thing into it. I love the book of James, and the first book of James says, I count it pure joy when I go through various trials, knowing the testing of my faith produces endurance. And when endurance has its full measure, I shall be pure and lacking in nothing. And I think that those are things we forget, that every obstacle we go through, every hardship we go to is helping us get to be a better person. And we have to say, thank you, Lord, for those hard times, because when I do the hard stuff, tough stuff happens, and then we overcome those as well.
That's exactly right. No, that's it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, if you had to give any advice to anybody, you know, that's, I mean, you're young, you've learned a lot more than me than I did at your age. But if you were going to give some advice to somebody about, you mentioned something really interesting. If you don't have the money, one of the things you might look at doing is investing in yourself, right? How can I be a better speaker, which you did? How can I be a better leader, better father, better husband? Those aren't expensive things. You can find stuff free on all over the internet about leadership qualities and how to be it. But if you were going to give some advice to someone, what would it be on how to be a better entrepreneur, how to be a better leader?
Yeah, I learned early, and I wish I learned earlier, that I don't need to make every mistake on my own. I can learn from people who already made the same mistake, and then I can avoid them. And so I've been saying that my entire life, right? You know, learn from your elders type of thing. And so I would just say, find somebody fast who has already achieved what you think you want to achieve, and do anything you can to learn from them. And whether that's just buy their book, listen to their audio book, listen to their podcast, find them on YouTube, right? Find those people that you can learn from. Now, years later, I invest, and I really believe and investing in coaches and investing in mentors and investing in opportunities, only because I believe so, like in the depth of my soul, the quote of those who pay attention. And when I've invested into things, I've learned.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I stretch myself every single year. I stretch myself. I like to invest to learn. But right now, where you are, right? If you're where I started out and I had a bunch of student loan debt, maxed out credit cards, you know, the public library is free, and JW and I both just keep rattling off expert after expert's names. We both learn from people. You can go check their books out from the public library for free. Right. Yep. And great, great place to start by reading, learning, and growing. And then also I believe solely, I know you said one thing, but I can't stop talking, really building a strong foundation in your faith to figure out your purpose, what God has intended for your life. Because I believe there's no greater relationship than a relationship with Jesus, and he really will guide you and give you a path of, you know, my child, this is what your gifts, talents, we all have different skills, right? And different skills and talents, and God will kind of put you where you were designed to be. And so establishing that is really prominent, to where I believe God wants you to go and where I believe you can grow into.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, you said about pay to play, or you know, if you pay, you'll pay better attention. There's some truth behind that. I mean, I can tell you, and you know, even at my phase in life, I have a business life coach, Christian man, actually lives in Cape Town, South Africa. I still meet with him every month. Nice. People on my team meet with him because I want to evolve. I want to get better. I want to stretch. And for young people out there too, man, turn the TV off, turn the TikTok off, turn the social media off. That's not going to make you better, right? Yeah. That's going to make you maybe bitter. And I think what you need to do is quit looking at other people and start to invest in leadership courses, start to read more, read about what other people have done. And you're right. Find somebody that you, that you admire, that you like. And there's another thing you can do. For myself, I'm kind of humbled when somebody says, hey man, could I spend 30 minutes with you? I'll buy you lunch. And I got a few questions. I'm humbled when people want to ask me questions about something, and I'm happy to share that. So I think you'd be surprised. Now, I'm not talking about calling Les Brown up. He's probably doesn't have time for lunch, but you know, you can call up people you admire in your community, business leaders, entrepreneurs, pastors, people that are in leadership positions, and say, man, can I get 45 minutes of your time? I'll buy you lunch over it. Those are cheap, right? Spend $20 on a meal and learn from some of the greatest. And I think people are more than happy to do those kind of things. So I would say invest in yourself. You can, as you pointed out, go to the library. Most of these books are at the library for free. Go online, look them up, spend time figuring out, even if you just set aside 30 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day that you're going to invest in yourself. I still do that. I know you still do that. I've been wanting to go back and get my master's in marketing, and my wife looks at me and goes, what, you're going to go to school? Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't know. I want to learn. Yeah. Just want to continue to learn to be better.
Quick note on that, to pat myself on the back a little bit. So I reached out, we think the same stuff. I reached out to Olivet Nazarene University, my alma mater, I don't know, a year ago, to possibly get, they have a master's degree in leadership. I'm always trying to enhance leadership and team development. And because I reached out, they ended up inviting me to come speak. And they're like, you know, we've been watching you. We see what you built. Why don't you come speak to our entrepreneurship division? They have a business division. And I ended up going down there and speaking during a big event they had. It was, you know, pro bono. And I went to kind of as a give back, but that's what that led into. But then also I want to lean into this too, about what you said about asking someone for lunch. So shout out to Michael Ray Newman, who was my first millionaire mentor. He owned at that time, you know, a handful of companies, 9 or 10 companies. And I knew that. I met him through Ziegler, right? I met him at that event that I paid $5,000 to be at. And I sent him a message on Facebook, and I literally just humbly said, hey, I love everything that you're doing, everything that you represent. I aspire to be where you're at. This is what I'm currently doing, and I don't have any money. What can I do to learn from you? And there's always a stretch. If you get a good mentor, they aren't going to give you the answer. They're going to stretch you. And he was like, well, I'll be in Tampa on this date, and I have this date free. If you can get here, I can help you. And again, so back to my credit card, shout out to Chase. And, you know, so I, again, used credit card to get down there. And the moment I got off the airplane, he took me under his wing. He paid for my hotel. He paid for my meals. He paid for everything. And he spent an entire day with me just because I reached out, just because I asked. And that was the first time I ever had anybody teach me how to work on your business rather than in your business. And I got that in the beginning. This would have been 2015 at this point, probably. And then I ended up serving water. I ended up working for free for his car dealership as a marketing agency, ended up working for free for his car dealership, and ended up working for free for a couple other of his businesses in order to get around him. Because I'm like, if this guy owns 10 companies and I want to own 10 companies, what can I learn? So I'll work for free. Yeah. And it exponentially, just, I wouldn't be where I am without people like him. And that I did what you said. I reached out, and it ended up, then I did what I said, served water. And I learned so much information from him that I know I wouldn't be where I am without Michael Ray Newman's impact in my life. So did what you said, and it pays off.
And don't forget, that's a lesson as you go through life, because when we talk about doing those hard things, I remember 2015, I get a call from Kerry Casey, a good friend of mine. He ran the National Center for Fathering, fathers.com, also was president of a lot of Christian organizations and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He ran that. His son is now the chaplain for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's been in this whole circles. And I remember Kerry kept calling me and saying, hey, I want you to come to this called Rendezvous. It was these marriage events, and it was their fundraisers, right? And 3 years I'd said no. And I'd say, Kerry, I can't go. I'm too busy. He called me. I said, Kerry, I can't go. I'm too busy. He goes, no, you're going. And I said, Kerry, I don't really, no, you just go tell Lori you're going, and we're going to go. We're going to have a good time. I was like, oh my gosh. So begrudgingly, because Kerry's push, I went. And crazy thing, I met my now partner from Zimbabwe, and now I'm in full-time business doing ministry through our 51% and thing. But think about it. Had I not gone to that event, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And I think that needs to be fully recognized, that sometimes you got to listen to God's push And sometimes you got to stretch yourself and say, you know, because I was working in the business, not on my life, really. And that was a great moment. So don't ever stop. You never know what series of events are going to look. This happened post 50 years old for me, and I made a complete change in careers, right? So don't ever stop believing that God doesn't have some big plans for you, but you got to be open to make those changes too.
I love that. And that's preaching and speaking, and that's truth. And so, you know, I'm so excited to see even where I go. You know, I feel blessed to be where I am. I know some people look up to me, but I'm still striving for that next, you know, want to grow, want to impact, want to serve more people. And I love being a part of communities like yours, and you got the real deal going on. You know, I've had the privilege of working directly inside of your companies, and you got the real thing going on. So I'm super impressed, and I learn from you every single day as well.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I think the other thing, please never forget, is the people that you may be influencing and you don't know it, right? I'm going to read this real quick because I think it was relevant, and I don't even think about it. It's a guy that I serve on a board with. He sends me a message and he said, "Hey, my wife and I were talking about you this morning. My son was going through some difficult times, with some court cases." And he said, "By personality, I tend to obsess and worry and try to control what I can't. I told my wife I wanted to be more like JW, more upbeat and hopeful in times of hard times, and I'm going to get there. I'm off to church." And you know, I got that. This was Sunday. This was just a few days ago. And I thought, what's he talking about? I don't think I'm like that. So I say that not to pat myself on the back or anything else. It's just understanding as a leader, you're on the stage at all times, right? You're making an influence at times you may have no idea. I did not think that is something that would happen to me. So again, I would say, think about where you're at, think about situations you're in, and understand you're a leader at all times, and you are influencing people whether you like it or not. So remember that you're making a difference in people's lives, and that's why we have to be showing how do we handle hard stuff? How do we handle difficult circumstances? People look at you, especially as Christians, Jacob. They look at, let's see how old Jacob handles this one. You know, he says he's a Christian, but let's see how he handles this one. So we're always on the forefront and in that stage. Well, one last question. If you had to, and I know you still do some work with Zig Ziglar, so I'm not going to say it can be him, but it doesn't have to be. If you were out there giving advice to one or two people that you might say, hey, here's some people that I would follow. I would check out their social media. I would read their books. Who have been those one or two people that have really influenced you for good?
Man, there's a lot. I mean, I literally have stacks of books next to me. It would depend on where that person is in their life. If obviously I'm going to say the Bible, right? I got the Bible directly next to me. I got The Richest Man in Babylon next to me. I got The Morning Christian Power. I got so many books next to me, right? But the one, so if it was a business success, the first book I ever read, which I'm sure JW read too, that really got me into my entrepreneurial journey was Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Kiyosaki.
That was the starting of like, wow, I don't have to punch the time clock every single day. There's so many ways to escape the time equals money paradigm. And I think every single human being on the planet should do that. But then if I had to attribute one person, I made multiple millions in Easy Metrics, and I attribute all of that to Russell Brunson and his books. You got Expert Secrets, Traffic Secrets. I got the $1 million award behind me because of his funnel secrets. And he gives credit to Dan Kennedy and everybody else he learned from too. But the majority of my success over the last 9 years really did come from the things I learned from his book specifically. But then, of course, yes, I got to give shout out to Tom Ziglar and his books, and Zig Ziglar and his books. And I know, JW, you just released a book too, which is amazing, about delegation and hiring a virtual team. There's so many great books. But I started with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then that led me down the trail, right? You then got Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, and there's so many great books out there. But start if you're just getting started trying to figure things out, Rich Dad Poor Dad would be where I would start as a great, great place to start building some kind of foundation and understanding the difference between being an employee and being a business owner and the four different quadrants that you can fall into.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you there. Rich Dad Poor Dad kind of gives you a perspective on people funny story you say that. I remember I went to an elementary school that was really, really poor. I mean, one of the poorest in town where I grew up. And then in junior high, I went to this middle class school that was kind of a conglomerate of these kind of poor kids and middle class schools. And I remember thinking at that time, wow, what are these kids' parents do? And then when I went to high school, there was no middle class really. It was really poor kids, and it was the super wealthy elite kids really, or the very well to do. And I remember being, I don't know, 14, 15 years old and saying, what do these parents do? You know, just thinking, what in the world do they do? And that kind of falls into the rich dad, poor dad, right? And, and kind of that same scenario. So surround yourself with the right people. Our pastor used to say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And he said, you know, take the five people you're hanging around with and you're going to be most like them in actions, marriage, finances, everything. So surround yourself with good people. We've talked about that off and on here as we've gone through this, haven't we?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Jacob, thank you, man. It's a pleasure to work with you in business and also learn more about your personal life. And we just appreciate you taking the time to jump on here as well.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be with you and with your audience as well. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet, Jacob. Hey, remember, just keep doing that hard stuff because I promise you it pays off. Have a great week.